show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get counted down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. I'm glad to be here. Why? Because I'm Guy James, and you're not. Welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Naples area. Of course, we're around the world with you, and we regularly hear from people from around the world. So, my, some of you stay up late at night. I think a lot of our foreign listeners listen on the archives or podcast. I think that's what's really happening. If they really do stay up at weird hours to listen to the show, well, I'm humbled. Welcome to the show. We invite you to join in on the program today. 866-546-5254. All got a hot discussion going on the Head On Radio Network chat room today, and I guess I want to comment, Mark Levine's guest fired those people up. It's like putting a stick into a beehive. That's exactly what happened, and I think we'll probably hear some more about that. Well, we've got a lot on tap today. Hope we can get to all of it. We're going to have Larry Johnson. They were talking about, Mark's guest was talking about CIA people he didn't trust, and Ray McGovern, in particular, kind of standing up for the communists and all that. I don't know what the hell that's all about. But I have to tell you, Sarge is saying he thinks I'm in my last throes here. I don't think so, Sarge. Private joke. We're going to have a former CIA agent on today, a guy who's well-known around Washington, D.C., Larry Johnson. He's CEO and co-founder of Berg Associates, but he was with the CIA for a while. He was with the U.S. State Department Office of Counterterrorism, and he is a recognized expert in the field of terrorism and aviation security. And we're going to talk about Victoria Tensing, that bitch. And, well, I shouldn't. Did I say that? No. Okay. I didn't say. You just thought I said that. Boy, would I like to give her a piece of my mind. Anyway, we're going to talk about that, how the Libby trial seems to be, well, out now. Just let's put it like it is. The Washington Post seems to be trying real hard for a jury tampering. That's what that thing was all about over the weekend with Victoria Tensing column. There isn't any question about it. And we're going to have Larry on in just a few minutes, about 10 or 11 minutes, to talk about that and maybe a couple other things going on in the world of whodunit with the CIA. And all that. And you're welcome to call the show, 866-546-5254. We'll be having Larry on at 3:15, okay? 3:15. Or thereabouts. As close to it as we can come. As always, lots going on in the news today. We're going to have a guest on tomorrow. We're going to have Vic Camber on tomorrow to talk about this disgusting turn of events taking place at Walter Reed military hospital in Washington, D.C. This administration has talked about supporting the troops. And regardless of what Tony Snow said yesterday at his press conference, it has been a mantra, support the troops all along. And then we find out they're not supporting the troops. Isn't that interesting? Well, and I got a couple of emails today. This one you might want to hear. This is from Rick. And a lot of you know where Tyndall Air Force Base is. He says, hi, Guy. As you know, I live right next to Tyndall Air Force Base. We're seeing a 100% increase in fighter jet exercises and a huge amount of big, heavy traffic, C-130s, etc. The last time this happened, we invaded Afghanistan. We seemed uninvolved in the last support mechanism for Iraq, for the most part. Duck and cover, Guy. The dance is about to be on, destination Iran. Well, Rick, if he lives up there next to Tyndall Air Force Base, I guess he ought to know if there's you would certainly see it if you lived around there, the increased activity. It's not like it's hidden away someplace out in the wide open spaces. And just a quick email that I got from one of my friends, I guess. You always like to hear about these. I just got this morning, and I just threw this in my notes here at the last minute. Thought you might want to hear about it. An email from somebody that I guess doesn't like the show. At least that's what I gathered out of this. It's what I gleaned out of this email of his. You, and I'll just be kind and not... you know, mention all the words you put into it. You effing fag. Keep it up, and I'll pack up the blazer with my best Winchester and drive to Naples and make confetti out of you and your commie headquarters studio. People like you don't deserve to live another minute. Well, thank you for your support, some people would say. Pack up the blazer. So I wish he would have said what color blazer so I'd know what to look for coming down the road. If he's listening, maybe he can give me a little hint what color the blazer is. Is it an old or new model? Somehow I have the feeling it's an older model, possibly white with those big mud tires on it with a big stars and bars Confederate flag flying from the back of it and several pouches of male pouch tobacco in the middle there someplace. Something like that. That's what I would guess this is from. And I see Tony Blair has come to his senses, or the people of Great Britain have forced him to come to his senses, and they're going to withdraw quite a few troops out of Iraq. And that's a good thing. What was it? January the 24th, Tony Blair said, "For us to set an arbitrary timetable would send the most disastrous signal to the people whom we are fighting in Iraq." And now he's withdrawing some of the troops and saying they're going to try and have them all out by when it doesn't say. Thank you, Tony. Thank you for doing that. I see the royal, what's his name? The royal kid, whatever his name is, Jeff or Frank or what is his name? The kid that's never going to be king. I don't know what his name is, but he's heading to Iraq. That's how much I pay attention to the royal family, I guess. Oh, a couple of things that I shouldn't schedule an interview this early in the show because I really can't get started on anything. I do want to talk about the zillion emails I got last week when I talked about the outburst that Ed Schultz had on his program and my opinion of Ed Schultz. So I guess I'll save that for after we have our guest on. You don't want me to get started on it right now, do you? No, I don't think so. Bill Press. I was talking to Bill Press this morning. One of the nicest guys in Washington. There's no question about it. Bill Press is just an outstanding guy, and he's going to be with us next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure which. I wanted him to be on tomorrow, but he's busy. And what a fine gentleman Bill Press is. If any of you listen to his program, why, if you haven't, do. Bill's a heck of a guy. If you can fit it in your schedule, check him out. And he used to be on that, what was that show? With Tucker Bowtie Carlson. And I guess they didn't think Bill was mean enough. He was too much of a gentleman to be on that show with Tucker Carlson. Actually, he tied Tucker Carlson in knots too many times. I think that was probably the real problem. Tomorrow we're going to have Raed Jarar on the show. He's been on before talking about the new Iraqi oil law that the American government is trying so hard to get done over there so that the Western oil companies can rape and pillage all the oil that there is in Iraq, all that they can get their hands on. That's exactly what that's all about. They're trying to coerce the Iraqi parliament to pretty much just give the oil away to the Western oil companies like Shell and BP and Exxon and all them. Don't worry, they'll get their share. I didn't realize, I was talking to an oil expert earlier this morning saying that it only costs about a buck a barrel to get oil out of the ground, and they're getting over $50 for it. It's not a bad return on the money, do you think? Not bad at all. That's right. Hey, we're going to pause for a quick break right now. Hey, let's take a listen to... No, let's don't. we'll be back right after this. We'll get hold of our guest and be back with you in a jiffy.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days, so... Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. And out on the edge of dawn, there rides a peace train. Come take me home again. I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on the peace train. Get peace train holy roller.
Come on, the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. Get your bags together. Come bring your good friends too. Because it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. Come and join the living. It's not the fault. About the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? Out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
we're back here with the Guy James Show, and welcome, everybody. Yes, we are back. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have all of you along with us here today on the Guy James Show. And as promised, we now have Larry Johnson with us. You all know we talked about earlier when we opened the show. He's a former deputy director in the U.S. State Department's Office of Counterterrorism, was with the CIA, and I particularly invited Larry on the program today to talk about what he says, and I completely agree, him and Brent Badowski, is what I think is a clear attempt at almost jury tampering by the Washington Post. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Guy.
We certainly agree on this mess with the Post and Victoria Tensing and all the articles they've had. I think they've done their very best to acquit Scooter Libby. What do you think?
But it goes beyond that. When first got wind of the Tensing piece coming out, and what we've heard is that there were several Washington Post reporters who were approached to try to correct some of the factual errors in it, and the Post editors wouldn't even correct some of those. Several of us, Brent and I have talked, have written letters to the editor and have written directly to Donald Graham, the owner of the Washington Post, and Fred Hyatt, the editor of the editorial page, Bob Kaiser, the editor of the Outlook page, Deborah Howell, who's the ombudsman, and they've been refusing to respond to letters. They were almost coerced into printing Brent Badowski's reply today. And that's the only one that's shown up. And so, as Brent points out, he's been given 125 words, and they, meanwhile, spent four to 5,000 words.
Exactly.
Articles by Byron York and Victoria Tensing. And in addition, today's paper has this puff piece on Libby's attorney, Wells. So, I mean, it's just, it's been a nonstop.
What do you think's the reasoning behind this? What's their agenda?
Their agenda is to try to get Scooter off and exonerate him.
I mean, why? What's the association? Why, the Post has been, in my opinion, somewhat fair in castigating the Bush administration when they need it and bringing out the truth sometimes. I mean, they've made mistakes, too. But why this deal with Scooter Libby, do you think?
Yeah, it is a puzzlement. Part of it goes back, I look at the fact that someone like Fred Hyatt, the editorial page editor, during the Iran-Contra scandal, he was notoriously on the wrong side of the page back then, and it's possible that he was, it was perceived that he was helping not get to the bottom of that story. So they've had a track record for this. It really is bizarre.
Well, you mentioned some of the mistakes that were in the Victoria Tensing, and she's not one of my. Her and her husband are two of my least favorite people in Washington. You said she made some mistakes in there. Well,
not just mistakes, egregious.
And they're somewhat elementary, wouldn't you say, that they've been debunked and here they are again?
Now, when you say something such as Valerie Plame was not undercover and was not covert, well, that's just not true. Victoria Tensing never worked at the Central Intelligence Agency. I did. Victoria Tensing was not in Valerie Plame's training class. I was. Every single member of our class was undercover.
How big of a class is this, Larry?
It was in excess of 50.
Okay.
So it was, it was less than 100, more than 50. But we all knew each other and hung out and socialized outside of work. And this notion that somehow she was just a desk jockey or wasn't covered by this act is just pure nonsense. But it's, it is her. She's just making things up.
Well, and the deal about her not being covert has been debunked over and over and over again, and yet it surfaces again in the Post. My God, certainly they know the truth of the matter by now.
They refuse to know the truth. That's the real problem.
Tell us what it takes to be covert. There's overt, covert. You have to be out of the country sometimes.
I mean, it's pretty simple. At the Central Intelligence Agency, there are two types of employees. Overt means that you can tell people, hey, I work for the CIA. There are some folks like that out there. But then there's a group of folks that are covert, that are undercover. And undercover means if somebody asks where you work, well, you'll have a cover job, a job that you can tell people to go look at. So in some cases, people do what are called official cover, which means you work for another U.S. government department like Department of Defense or State Department or Department of Agriculture. But then you get into the one that's called non-official cover. And what that means is that you have no known association with the U.S. government. And all of us in this class started off as official cover, but some, like Valerie, made the jump to be go under what's not called non-official cover, meaning she had no clear relationship with the U.S. government.
And she was out of the country for a while doing this?
Yeah, the law says, doesn't say you have to live outside of the country. The law says serve outside of the country.
And that can be just be involved in events that are taking place outside.
But she did live overseas during some of her career, but during prior to being outed by Robert Novak in his column, even though she was stationed in Washington, D.C., she still was traveling overseas to carry out espionage activities, and she was working handling sources, and so she was covered under that act.
Larry, tell me, just as an aside here, just because we're all very nosy about the CIA, we'd love to all be little flies on the wall in the CIA and know everything that goes on, wouldn't we? Your class, for example, you say there's about 50 in your class, and you're in Valerie Plame's class. Do you maintain associations with one another? Do you know what each other is doing?
Some stay in touch, some don't. And it's, it's more, it varies person to person. But you do have ways of staying up and keeping tabs on people and find out what they're doing. The rumor mill works pretty well.
Trained
as intelligence officers, you learn how to collect intelligence.
And it's classified material.
Pardon?
When you've got intelligence, it's automatically classified material?
Yes.
All right. Now here's one thing I wanted to know. There's such a thing in the government as a non-disclosure agreement.
That's what it's called. It's called a non-disclosure
agreement. An SF-312, something like that. Did Scooter Libby sign one of those?
Yes, he did. And he was covered. He was covered by it. And again, in this case, they just got very careless with classified information, and knew that they were dealing with classified information. I mean, Scooter Libby and Dick Cheney didn't just show up at the White House on January 21st of 2001 and say, golly, there's a CIA. Let's recall that Dick Cheney had been chief of staff to President Ford and was privy to CIA information, had dealings with the Central Intelligence Agency back in 1974. Then jump ahead, when he's in Congress, he's on the House Intelligence Committee. Again, he dealt extensively with Central Intelligence Agency personnel and Scooter as well. And then when Cheney is Secretary of Defense, deals directly with the Central Intelligence Agency, and Scooter was dealing with it then. So these guys, this was not ignorance, sins of carelessness. This was deliberate. They knew what they were doing, and they did it willfully.
Well, this was a deliberate conspiracy. I don't think there's any question about that. A question I have for you, is the vice president, as I've heard Dick Cheney say, is he allowed to declassify material, or can only the president do it by speaking it?
Well, no. There's a process and a procedure to go through. He can't just wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to declassify this today.
Cheney or the president?
Either.
Okay.
Because actually it says originator authorized disclosure, OADR. Is one of the, so it can be the person who originated that can has to have a say in the disclosure of it.
So this wasn't a deal where they just said, "Oops, I shouldn't have said that." They actually had to go through a procedure to declassify.
Yeah, no, this was much deeper because they were operating from the assumption that the CIA was at war with them and was trying to embarrass them, and it's just out of that they were in the attack mode. These guys were political partisans who cared more about preserving political turf and reputation than dealing with what was right.
Exactly. And this isn't about whether Libby lied to the FBI, is it?
That's what he's on trial for.
Yeah.
If he had told the truth, he may not have been charged. I can't say one way or the other. But what is clear is that he lied, he committed perjury, and he obstructed the investigation. And because he obstructed the investigation, they were not in a position to be able to make a determination to whether he had, in fact, violated the Intelligence Identities Protection Act.
Mm. It's said that people, you know, we've heard all the things that all these people that have responded, all the media, and that's another whole story, the complicity I think the media had in this story all along. There's an association between the media and some of these characters around Washington that I don't think the American public's completely aware of. It's and I'm going to talk about
like,
that.
It's inbreeding.
It is, isn't it?
It makes West Virginia look like an experiment in biodiversity.
Don't go there. That's good.
I like West Virginia.
I like that. I do too. Beautiful place. Almost heaven. Do you think this is the end of it? Frankly, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm disappointed with the way this whole thing is going. Do you think it's opened up a can of worms that can't be shut, or is this maybe the end of it?
No, I think it's going to... It can go beyond here. If they come back with a conviction on at least two or three of the charges, I don't rule out the possibility of Fitzgerald trying to go after Cheney, because the evidence that's been introduced made it very clear that Dick Cheney was part and parcel of this effort. Get him under oath and see what story he tells. The other part of it is that Joe and Val still have a civil suit pending, and if that is accepted, that they do have standing to pursue it, then these charges will be aired in a civil court where you don't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. You just have to have a probable cause, and they will, you know, the evidence generated out of this trial of Scooter Libby has given them a genuine slam dunk.
I spoke to Ambassador Wilson about a month ago in Washington. I was there, and I asked him about the civil case and asked him what his level of confidence was in winning it, and he didn't respond verbally. All he did was give me a huge grin. I think they're very, very confident of their chances in this civil suit.
Well, if it gets into court, yes.
Yeah.
And I think the issue is whether or not it will get into court, because... let me put it this way. If the system was fair and objective and honest, it would get into court. But unfortunately, you've got so many partisan political hacks playing in this field that they may have difficulty getting it into court.
Do you think Fitzgerald has shown any partisanship at all in this? I mean, it's well known he's a conservative, but I haven't seen anything that would point me to where he's being partisan in this.
No, he has been... scrupulous about staying above the partisan fray, and he has been focused, I think, in a way that just frustrates the dickens out of the Republicans, that this man is incorruptible, and he is keen on doing his job and doing it in a professional way, and that has just driven them nuts, which is good.
kind of very different than when Ken Starr blew into town and told somebody, "I'm going to roll your boy."
Yeah, Ken Starr was so busy pandering to the press, and it's the one thing that Fitzgerald has shied away from. He's made sure, not just himself, but everybody in his operation, that they didn't talk to the press, that they didn't leak information, and that they took their job very seriously, because they recognized that they had to conduct this with the utmost of integrity in order for it to have any credibility.
Well, we're anxiously awaiting the outcome of it. I think there'll probably be a conviction if the jurors all see the evidence the way I do. Of course, they may not. It only takes one.
Yeah, if they were awake and paying attention, I don't think there's any other decision they could come to but that he was guilty. But, unfortunately, they... other things sometimes intrude.
Larry, you've got a great blog that everybody should see every day. It's No Quarter at TypePad, T-Y-P-E.
No Quarter dot TypePad.
Dot TypePad, dot com.
Dot com.
All those
right.
Little dots make all the difference, don't they?
Yeah,
and
yes,
we'll post that on our site tonight, No Quarter dot TypePad dot com. He's got his ear close to the ground on this thing, and you'll enjoy his commentary about this and many other issues. Larry, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today.
Guy, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Larry Johnson, former CIA, former State Department Office of Counterterrorism, The man knows. We'll have him back on again someday to talk about Iran and the Middle East and all that. There's not a lot about that area that he doesn't know about. Believe me, we're lucky to get him on the show today. You talk to Larry one day and he's headed for Africa, and the next time you get him as well, I'm headed for, you know, Afghanistan. He's all over the place, and very, very knowledgeable man, and very trustworthy, and has never given me any reason to disbelieve even one thing he says. He doesn't hype things, as you can probably tell. He's just the facts and nothing but the facts. That's how he is. He's not a bloviator that likes to go on and toot his own horn. He knows what he's talking about. Check out his website, noquarter.typepad.com. I think you'll enjoy seeing that. And, you know, we had a request for one of our listeners, and we're not going to make a habit of doing this, but here's a song that one of our listeners requested, and Billy Shears, our musical director, made sure that we had it today. So, Phil, this is for you. Thanks for being with us here this afternoon on the Guy James Show. You know, we depend on you. We wouldn't have any reason to be here if it weren't for you, right? So I want you to know how appreciative I am each and every day for each and every one of you tuning into the program and sharing in the program by calling in. And we thank you for your gifts to the program. We appreciate that very much. It's very important. Very important. And boy, speaking of money, have any of you? First of all, thanks, Sarge. Thanks a bunch. Secondly, any of you been to the doctor lately and had to pay the bill yourself? Oh God, I was, as many of you know, I've been doing some, as we used to say in the country, doctoring lately, and I'm in one of those situations where the old insurance hasn't quite kicked in and all that, and have to pay the bills myself, and I wouldn't even go if it weren't extremely important. How do they, you know, it's not like I wasn't aware of this, because as you know, we talk about it once in a while on the program, but you know, you go in for a day of tests and so forth, and you come home with a bill of almost $5,000. How is that? How is that? You go at 7 o'clock in the morning, you get diagnostics done, you get blood tests done, you get your cholesterol done, you get all the blood work done, and then you go over and you have an MRI, and then, you know, x-rays, and this and that, and I don't know what all. And besides feeling like a piece of meat when you get out of there and leaving your modesty at the door, that's for sure, you get a bill, and it's just, you know, it knocks you over. How do people do this? How do people do this? Do you just die? Do you just not go when you suspect it? Maybe you've got a problem and you don't have any money and you don't have any insurance? Do you just, I mean, what happens? I've never been in that situation before, and it's somewhat disconcerting, I got to tell you, when you... You know, you look at your billfold and you look at the doctor's bills and what they might be if you go to the doctor, and you think, well, maybe not. You know, it's something that many of us take for granted our whole lives. We either work for somebody that had insurance and you used to get it for nothing when you worked for many companies. I did many years ago, didn't have to pay for anything. And maybe that's not exactly the way it ought to be. I don't know. But then I've also been in situations where you had to pay half of it with a company, and maybe that's fair. But at the prices of the insurance plans nowadays, that isn't even affordable for most people. But damn, I mean, you go in for a day, and I'm not talking about going to the hospital and being in a room in the hospital. I'm just talking about going in for tests and so forth, and you end up with a bill of almost $5,000 for one day. Who can pay that? And why is it that much? Why? I understand about the insurance. I understand about, but boy, we could talk for a long time on that, could we not? Hey, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
I told you not to give me a topic I'd have to call in on, and you did it anyway. Dude. This is Sarge.
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, listen. You know, you're talking about that medical. Aren't you? You know, too bad you're not lucky like me. I got the VA.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Oh, gosh. Hey, listen, I hadn't been to the VA in decades because last time I went, they dang near killed me. So I just don't even fool with them. I'd rather die than go to the VA, to be honest with you. Mm. And especially when I look and see what they're doing.
You know what a sad thing that is to hear a vet say?
Well, yeah, it is. I understand they have a really nice one over in Phoenix, so I'm thinking about packing my bags and heading to Phoenix so I can have a decent VA to go to, because you certainly don't have it here in Mississippi.
That's just damn sickening, Sarge. That really is. I mean, I'm not a veteran. I'm a veteran of ROTC.
well, I tell
but,
you what
but,
I'm going to do.
But to have served your country and not that just it, oh it's,
I'm gonna be hardcore blind about it, and I know this when I say it to people, they get all mad at me, but they're scared to say anything back because I've been there, I've done that, so that, you know, and the ones that want to get mad, they haven't. But if I had it to do over again, there's no way I would serve, because what I have experienced because of my service and the life that I've had to lead because of it. I mean, I've got an ear that can't even hold up at times, and the VA just won't even treat it. And They killed me one time, actually killed me with some medication I wasn't supposed to get that was clearly listed as me being unable to take it, and yet they still gave it to me because the doctor refused to pay attention to my regular doctors saying, don't give this man this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he did anyway because they only do what they want to do. And that's what your VA is. And this Walter Reed thing that Bush is talking about, let me tell you, folks, that's something that really needs some attention paid to it.
Because, oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Malloy was on it last night, and he went off on it, and I wish others would, because I'm going to tell you, the way our veterans are being treated, the way our troops are being treated coming back, this is not a disgrace. This is murder. It is murder, and I'm so sick of it. And we've got to talk about these things. I don't care what Anna Nicole Smith's child was or wasn't or who the daddy was. What I care about is, what about these young men going over to Iraq? What about these vehicles, these Humvees? And if you'll go to Leonard Clark's article at unreportednews.net, you'll read that some of these equipment is so poorly done, and some of it will not be ready until June, and yet they're deploying these people with this useless material. And yet we want to talk about trashy stuff? I mean, guy, what in the world? You tell me.
Oh, I've seen the pictures the past few days, and it disgusts me to think a guy might be coming home to that kind of treatment. It's just disgusting, and yet
I'm gonna tell you, I have seen horror stories. There was a World War II veteran that was a really good friend of mine. I was in the domiciliary in Biloxi for a while, and he was with me, and he got sick, and they put him in a nursing home, and it was something they should have recovered from. Within 2 months, he was dead because they had killed him with neglect. And that's not uncommon at all. We all feared in the domiciliary that would be us one day, and that's what our veterans are suffering through. So these people say they support the troops. Hell no, they don't support the troops, guy.
No, not in the real way.
They don't support nothing but their pocketbook. And anybody that thinks they do, it's like this one guy here. I challenged him to a debate, and I told him I would print every word he said. I would not change a comma, a period, or anything from here. And he was going to do it until he found out I was a veteran.
Well, Sarge, I'd like to turn the tables on him. I would like to turn the tables on him and say, you support the mission, but not our troops.
There you go.
That's just, we're hearing it the other way around all the time, but I think we have all the evidence we need that they do support the mission, but not the troops.
I believe I heard you say earlier that I donated some money. No, listen, that was not me. That was unreportednews.net. Some of our readers donated it. They wanted us to use that money to promote progressive and liberal ideas, and I feel like your show is certainly one of the most important things on the airwaves today, and that's why unreportednews.net chose your show. It has nothing to do with me. Okay?
Well, thanks, Sarge. I'm going to be talking about liberal radio here. In fact, when we get done talking, I'm going to be talking about that today.
You go ahead. I'm going to get off.
All right. Hey, thanks, Sarge.
Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. Let's do talk about liberal radio for a moment. A lot of people like to call it progressive radio, and I know, you're sick of hearing me saying it, that don't you call me a progressive, you call me a liberal. You can hang progressive on the end of it if you want to, but liberal first. That's the rule here. It's bad news that we have to talk about liberal radio, and for the most part I'm talking about terrestrial radio. The Talkers magazine's just came out with their new top 250. And of course, if you're not on terrestrial radio, you're not eligible for that. I see they took Mike Malloy from the top 10 from a year or two ago when he was started on Air America down to out of the top 100. What's up with that? I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, this is from our friends over at talkingradio.blogspot.com. On February 1st, 2006, coverage of liberal talk radio peaked. There were 64 stations carrying three or more liberal hosts daily. Since that time, It's been all downhill for LibTalk. In the past year, the format has gained 2 stations and lost 19 and gained 658,000 potential new listeners while losing 13,815,000 potential listeners with the stations that they lost. This represents a decline of 26.6% in station coverage and 16.1% in potential listeners. Currently, there are 47 liberal talk stations reaching a possibility of 67,719,600 potential radio listeners. Actual listeners are 1.2 to 2.7 million per month, depending on whom you get that information from. Folks, it's going downhill. And there may be a lot of reasons for it. I can't put my finger on it exactly. I understand that in many of the big markets, maybe liberals aren't in the majority. Certainly where I live, we're not in the majority. But that does leave 40% of the people in my particular community completely unserved by the local radio. Completely unserved. Do the local stations care whether they're just pissing on 40% of the people and say, go away, we don't need to serve you? No, they don't care. As long as their ad revenues are up where they want them to be, as long as they're making good money, they'll stay where they're at. It's a very sad story with liberal radio right now. It really is. And that's from our friends over at TalkingRadioBlogspot.com. Be good to check that out once in a while. And bad news continues to afflict the Lib Talk format. First, we hear this week that 2 more Lib Talk stations will be flipping formats, a station in Sacramento, another in Fresno. And now we learn that the Armed Forces Network, and please understand this, the Armed Forces Network will be replacing Al Franken's spot of their lineup with the Fox liberal punching bag, Alan Colmes. Now, is that an idea of fairness right there? Going to replace Franken with Alan Colmes. And I know many of you aren't in love with Franken's style on the radio. He's gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But to put Alan Colmes on, to balance it out from Limbaugh and all, is absurd. Absolutely absurd. And here they go selecting someone who's generally despised by LibTalk listeners. That's from TalkingRadioBlogspot.com. I don't know. And I got a ton of email from you, from many of you, lots and lots and lots of you, concerning what I had to say about Ed Schultz. And I don't care. Some of you didn't like what I had to say, it's not in fighting. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Hell, I'm not in competition with Ed Schultz. He's on 102 stations across the country. Doesn't matter if about 50 of them are daytime stations only or low-powered stations. But anyway, I'm not in competitions with Ed Schultz. I've been around Ed Schultz a couple of, 3 times, I think it is. Met him. I still don't appreciate the attack that he did a couple of weeks ago. You know, he's a backwoods redneck type with no couth, no manners. He's a guy who sold his conservative soul for the money. And if you can listen to what he says is truth after knowing that he was a lifelong conservative, then you're very easily fooled. And that's my opinion. This story about him having some sort of an epiphany because of his wife and changing his political spots, that's ridiculous. People don't change their spots that easily. You ask me what I thought, and so there you go. Get me in trouble again. 866-546-5254. If you have a comment on anything I've had to say, why, give us a call today. As we mentioned, did talk to Bill Press earlier. You know, Bill Press and Tom Hartman are 2 of the really good guys in radio. They really are. Bill's the consummate gentleman. Tom is too. Tom, we should all have a fourth of Tom's brain. I'm not speaking for any of you, but I'll speak for myself. You should have a fourth of the knowledge that Tom has. He's a terrific guy, and a lot of people think he's too cerebral for him. Well, Tom's pretty cerebral, all right. He really is. But a hell of a good guy and a very knowledgeable guy and an upfront guy. You don't get any BS from Tom Hartman. You don't get any BS from Bill Press. So that's what I had to say about Liberal Talk Radio today. And if you have a comment, give us a call. We'd love to hear what your opinions are on it. I've got lots of opinions on why it's failing in some areas and doing good out in the northwest, the northwest, the Seattle area and all that, because that's a liberal area. It really is. And if it's going to flourish any place, that's probably a good place for liberal radio right there. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I'd like to say something about the medical situation.
Yes.
I could probably write a book or at least a long, 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 long story about my dealings with being, malpractice owned.
Mm-hmm.
And I never refiled any kind of suits. But anyway, and then going to work in a hospital, and then later on I was doing insurance, and the Medicare, when it first came out, when I first started doing it, it was great. It was absolutely wonderful. And the insurance companies came along with it, you know. It was just so easy to get approval and everything. And then along about 1980, everything started changing with Medicare. I don't know who passed the laws, but we had like BA ladies, you know what I'm saying, about B. What is it, business administration?
Mm-hmm.
Coming in and telling the doctors what to do. And then also they changed the way they paid. And there were certain things that they could not admit them for. I remember one doctor from the Philippines. He's saying he had a patient that had cancer and had she had everything just about. And they told him that he shouldn't be admitting her. And he said, well, why? He said, and he was from the Philippines, too. And he said, you know, I believe in God. And he said, if this woman doesn't need a hospital, then why do we even have hospitals?
Mm.
And they wanted everybody to be put in nursing homes if they were over a certain age.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I don't know if you know this, the numbers, there's a code. If you go into a hospital, I don't know if I'm telling you this. You probably already know a lot of this, but
I don't know much about that sort of thing, I can tell you.
If you go into a hospital and you have a heart problem, they're going to get you out, according to the hospital. They're going to get you out as quick as possible. Because if you go in and stay a day or two, they're going to get paid for about 5 days. And they don't have to worry about it. So they get that extra pay. And they're constantly, they love cancer patients when they have the surgery. They love the heart patients because this is where they make their money. And, of course, that's what they're there for. But after 1980, we lost a lot of small hospitals in this area due to a lot of that. And what it was supposed to be was to get rid of the bad doctors. But it got mostly rid of good doctors because the bad doctors, when the hospitals, you know, had to change their ways of making money, the bad doctors would go along with it.
You know, Anita, it pains me to hear you say something you just said, but it's absolutely true. You said that, but they got to make money. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
I understand they got to make money. I mean, we all understand that, but
I remember when I first went to work for the hospital, they always said the patient comes first. And then they changed, and they said the money comes first.
Yeah.
And it's just one thing after the other. It's just, and now you're limited if you know as to what you can do. For instance, I have a loved one that had a bad back problem. It took over a year for him to even have an X-ray. Hmm. And then it took about a half a year for him to have an MRI. And I had a problem that I could have died from, and it took 5 years for me to get any help. And I had to go out of this county to get help. There was a hospital in Orange County that.
Well, what's the first question?
When you
call to make an appointment nowadays, what's the first question?
It's
not what's wrong with you or anything like that.
Give
us your insurance number. I mean, that's it.
Right.
I'm told, and I wonder if anybody can back this up. I was told recently that many doctors nowadays don't even take the Hippocratic Oath. Does anybody know if that's true or not?
I don't know.
I would like to know that.
I don't know, but a lot of them didn't live up to it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But Mark Maron was on, talk show, and his mm-hmm. father was an orthopedic doctor. And see, now I can relate to this. He said his father got out of it because of all this mess, and he probably was he was an orthopedic doctor. And I know exactly what he's talking about. But see, people in general don't know what's going on. And now they're wondering what happened to our medical system. But this has been going on for the last, over 25 years.
Oh, sure.
And also the insurance, about the doctors paying so much insurance, that's been going on for a long, 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 long time. A long time.
Yes.
At least 25 years. Because it was 25 years ago that, I was working in insurance, and I went to work in a doctor's office, and one time he operated on a patient for 5 hours, and Medicare paid him $200.
Yeah.
So now a lot of doctors are not taking Medicare.
Sure.
And used to be they would all take Medicare.
Well,
but
they're working on ruining it. It's true that we have the finest health care in the world available.
If you've got the money.
If you've got the money. That's right. We don't have the best health care system in the world. We've got the finest available.
Right.
But unfortunately.
And like you said, what do you do if something's wrong? You just wait.
Yeah, it's a pity. I have to think if there's one thing that a civilized society that we all owe one another, it's the best health care money can buy. If there's one thing that the people mm-hmm. ought to have from each other, that ought
right.
to be it.
And not just limit what, even if you do get care, if you have insurance, they'll limit you on what you can do.
Oh, yeah.
And you better get permission.
That's right. I know. I have a friend that's
ironclad commission
going through that right now with a cancer problem and reaching the limit on the insurance. And, mm-hmm. it's. Got to move on.
Just say one little thing about veterans?
Quickly.
My understanding is that unless they've changed it, you cannot sue a doctor who's in VA.
Hmm.
You cannot sue a VA doctor.
Okay. Didn't know that.
And now they may have changed that, but I know that that did happen.
Thank you, Anita. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about suing any doctors. I never have, I don't go for that reason. I don't think any of us do. We just... We go for good health care, and we've got good health care in this country. We've got amazingly good technology available, and it is not available to many people. And I think that's a damn shame. I think it's criminal that people don't have all the health care they could possibly need in this country. It's possible. It's doable. Do we need these ivory palaces and hospitals? Do we need to spend the monstrous amount of money on these lavish facilities that we have, for one thing? I can show you one that's got a stream running through the middle of it and a grand piano playing in the lobby. Now, that's nice. That's all well and good. But it just goes on the bill, I shouldn't sit here and complain about it. But it is getting to be pretty outrageous. It really is. Hey, we're going to pause for the news at the top of the hour. I think we are. Yeah, it's there. And I do want you to stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. And we're going to be back with a great second hour. And I expect you to be there.
This is the Quality News Network.
In Washington, jury deliberation has begun in the CIA leak trial. Louis Scutalibbe is not accused of leaking CIA operative Valerie Plame's identity, but of obstruction and perjury during an investigation to find out who did. If convicted, Libby faces 30 years in prison. Iran's president says he will not meet another UN deadline demanding it stop enriching uranium. Ahmadinejad said, quote, "Iran will not retreat one iota in its path to nuclear victory," end quote. Iran maintains it is only interested in nuclear power for civilian use. British Prime Minister Tony Blair said he will withdraw 1,600 British troops if Iraq can secure the southern portion of the country. The remaining 5,500 British soldiers would stay to secure the border with Iraq and protect supply routes for coalition forces. In India, India and Pakistan have signaled an agreement reducing the possibilities of nuclear accidents occurring between them. The details of the pact have not been released. An apartment collapsed in India and has killed two in Istanbul. Government officials say 27 have been rescued from the rubble. The cause of the accident is still under investigation. Coalition forces have killed seven insurgents and captured 13 others in raids around Iraq. Military officials said the raids focused on terrorists and car bomb cells in the cities of Ramadi, Fallujah, and Bakuba. In Afghanistan, NATO is expecting increased violence this spring. An alliance spokesman said Taliban forces will be stepping up roadside and suicide bomb attacks, trying to dislodge Afghan support for their government. And two people were killed and seven others wounded when a car bomb packed with toxic gas exploded in a southwestern Baghdad neighborhood. An additional 23 people were sent to the hospital with respiratory problems. This is the second such attack in the last 2 days. Philippine military death squads have murdered more than 800 political opponents since President Gloria Arroyo seized power. Arroyo has agreed to stop the killings, but it is questionable if her orders will be obeyed. In Thailand, Muslim separatists are being blamed for burning down a large tire manufacturing plant shortly after midnight, that following clashes that killed 8 people and wounded another 70. In Sacramento, a judge has ruled against Governor Schwarzenegger's plan to alleviate prison overcrowding by sending inmates to facilities outside of the state. The state's 33 prisons are intended to hold 100,000. Currently, there are 174 inmates. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
British Airways is ordering 4 777 passenger jets from Boeing instead of Airbus, with an option to purchase 4 more. The decision announced today is another blow to the struggling Airbus. State lawmakers coast to coast are considering laws to prevent online bullying and social networking sites like MySpace. Arkansas and South Carolina have already adopted such legislation. Enforcement of laws against cyberbullying may be difficult to enforce. And it's good news, bad news from Alltel. Nearly $216 million were reported in profits for its wireless business. However, overall earnings dropped 12% after covering expenses for the spin-off landline service. Outbreaks of avian flu have been found in at least 6 farms within 30 miles of Moscow. The city's main poultry market has been shut down. Police roadblocks have been set up to turn away visitors to nearby farming villages. Spinach, lettuce, and now mushrooms. Packages of fresh mushrooms from Wellesley Farms are being recalled for fears of E. coli. The products most affected were purchased between February 11th and 19th. Hewlett-Packard posted a 26% surge in quarterly profits. The California company says a significant portion of its $1.55 billion earnings came from increased sales of laptops. Light Street crude is trading at $60.08 a barrel right now, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down 48, the NASDAQ is down 2, and the S&P 500 is down 3. You're listening to the Quality News.
Throw the second
Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back. Hope you all got some refreshment, a sandwich, whatever it is you do at the top of the hour. Glad to have all of you along with us here this afternoon. It's a beautiful day where I'm at today, in the mid-70s, and the sun is shining, and a gorgeous day. Got some email while we were away to break. Got some nice ones and some not so nice ones. Got one from Rick, says, I live with that every day, talking about the medical problem. Doctors won't see me. I'm not eligible for Medicaid. The free clinics are a joke with no resources or will not take new patients. Now the community hospital, this medical center, has a great game they play with the indigent or not insured broke people concerning their ER. What they do is only let you see a physician assistant. They will not let you see the doctor. And, you know, we just hear that sort of thing every day. From Blue Lady, we hear a little known fact is that you can negotiate your doctor bills with the doctor. Well, I've never tried that with my doctor, but I tried it with a dentist a while back. And he told me from his side of the negotiations to go see another dentist. But I'll take your word for that, that you can negotiate bills. And here we got one from a gentleman named Mike Rice. Anybody know Mike Rice? This is an intelligent guy. It says, do you should listen to yourself? Do you should listen to yourself? You are everything you claim everyone else is, including a racist. Well, I'll be damned. I've been called a lot of things, but I don't think I've ever been called a racist before. Can any of you think of anything racist I've said? You'd have to do some real searching on that one, bub. Mikey boy, Mikey Rice, Mike, I would suggest that maybe, school's out today. You'd be out of classes today, I'm sure. But when you go back to the fourth grade tomorrow and get grammar, get that straightened out. Do you should listen to yourself. Mike, come on. You shouldn't be sending emails to adults, all right? Make sure don't let your mom find out about this. I won't tell her. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
It's the real Guy James Show.
The one and only. I'm Guy James. I'm Guy James, and you're not.
Gosh, I feel so insecure.
Well, I said that as condescendingly as I could. I tried to speak like Victoria Tunzing does. Do you ever notice? You know who I'm talking about, Victoria Tunzing?
I'm not sure I do.
Her and her husband, Joe DiGenova, appeared on TV 300 times during the Clinton impeachment thing. They were always there, and she always sits with her head cocked to one side looking down at people and just speaks in such a condescending manner. You would recognize her in a minute.
I had to work a lot of hours during that time.
Thank God.
Waste of business. Thank God. No, I like to keep up on this. Actually, I'm very sorry I missed a lot of the Watergate hearings during the 70s because I was in the military at that time, and I would have loved to have heard those. My father did, and I got all the reports when I was over in Germany and serving my country. Got a question for you. This is Eric from Vermont, and I got this real crazy thing about this Tony Snow little press conference he did yesterday on Tuesday. I guess today's Wednesday, right?
Yesterday. I tell you what, if you can stick with me for just a second, don't go anywhere. Let's all listen to this.
The administration's mantra for a long time has been support the troops. What is the reaction then when you read this series of stories in the Washington Post about troops coming home from Iraq, Afghanistan, and being treated so poorly, apparently based on this long investigation? What's the president's reaction?
Well, there are a couple of things. First, it's not a mantra. I would really choose words carefully. It's to support the troops. And the president, as you know, has visited the wounded many times.
Everybody hang in there.
We are concerned
about it. Well worth the effort.
And the people who we are aware now. And, and I would refer you to the Department of Defense, which I know is taking a very close look at it.
Are you talking about
the men and women who have gone and fought for our country over there, they deserve the best care.
But so why has that not been guaranteed then?
Well, I'm not sure that, when you find a problem, you deal with it.
So you're saying the president learned about this from the Washington Post?
I don't know exactly where he learned from it, but I can tell you that we believe that they deserve better. And again, Ed, this is something where I'd suggest you give DOD a call, because I know they're taking a good hard look at it, too.
Tony, can I call on that? I mean, Bob Dole might ask, where's the outrage?
There's plenty of outrage.
Is there?
Yeah.
So the president responded how when he learned about this, and what specifically did he order something
to
be done?
Look, there's a reason I'm suggesting DOD is the proper place which will be taking care of these issues. And I would refer you to them for comment. But this is something that's going to have to be an action item.
Is there any evidence that it was even looked at before the paper printed its two stories?
But I do not know. That's why, again, I would refer you, Bill, to the Department of the Army, which runs the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. This is the place where, if you want to get...
It's an easy way for you not to have to talk about it.
Well, it's also a way of pointing to the proper authorities, which is what you would want.
White House doesn't want to be on record with a more emphatic expression of amazement and upset about this?
No, when David asked where the outrage, of course there's outrage. The men and women who have been fighting have not received the outpatient care. If you read the stories, there are many who are happy with it, some who are unhappy, and it's important that we show our commitment to the people who have served. I don't know what more you want me to do.
In December, NPR ran a series looking at the quality of mental health care for Iraq veterans who've returned, showing that it's sort of shocking how little care is provided to them. And several congresspeople, Obama, Boxer, and Bond, sent a letter to the Pentagon, which you're referring us to, asking for an investigation, which they have not agreed to conduct. So you're referring us to the DOD, but they're not acting quickly on this. So does the president...
Again, you've asked me about two separate stories, and
it seems there's a problem that's endemic to the system.
Well, I would rather than leaping to a conclusion, as I said, I would suggest you call them, and then we can talk about it later.
Off camera this morning, you said that you would have something at noon. You said I'll talk about it then, and now you're not really.
Well, that's because, again, I think that you may see some activity on it, and at this point, I would refer you to the Department of Defense. Well, I'll tell you what. Is the system working? Yes. Is it working perfectly? No.
It's good enough?
No, I said it's not good enough. I just told you it's not working perfectly, but there are also thousands of people who have been through the system, who have been cared for. But it is important that we maintain a commitment to following up of providing the treatment that these men and women deserve.
I was just going to say something about this later.
No.
You responded to me a moment ago that the administration was aware of this before the articles appeared in the paper.
That is my understanding. But, this is something that's an action item over at the Department of Defense and in particular the Department of the Army. I'm not fully briefed on the activity.
You know, the thing is, if he knew this ahead of time, before it was in the paper, then somebody tipped him off, didn't they? And
on the telephone line. I heard it on the earphones with the 20-second delay, but I couldn't hear it exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, we're playing the Tony Snow
Oh, I have the whole interview right here. You tell me which place you want.
Yeah, we played a good bit of it from yesterday, and you know it was spin Tony spin run Tony run. Don't ask me, call the DOD. He was asked if Bush knew about this before it was out in the paper, and he said yes. Well, if he did, who told him, and why wasn't anything done about it? You're the president of the United States, for God's sake. You should be able to snap your fingers and get anything done, shouldn't you?
Well, I guess maybe I missed yesterday, so, you know, shut me off, you know, if I say something out of line. But, I mean, basically, when he's questioned about this, Mr. Tony Snow, formerly a Fox News worker, or wherever he was, right? Fox, right? When he first became aware of it, speaking of the president certainly has been aware of the conditions in the wards where he has visited, and visited regularly. And we also have people from Walter Reed regularly over to the White House as guests, sometimes in fairly large numbers. So as I have said, the president is committed to these people, committed to men and women who have served. We need to make sure that whatever problems there are fixed. I couldn't be any stronger playing about it. And then at the end of the little blurb that they wanted to put on the White House page, this is quoting from the White House page, he says, the president first learned of the troubling allegations regarding Walter Reed from the stories this weekend in the Washington Post. He is deeply concerned and wants any problems identified and fixed. It sounds like very on-hands involvement. But I would like to go further because...
Well, Eric, didn't we just hear Bush say the other day that he doesn't read the newspapers?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he did. He said, I don't read the papers.
Maybe Fitzgerald should have an investigation whether Bush reads the newspapers, and I'm not really sure. But, I mean, it does sound like an awful lot of double talk, as you have very previously indicated. But I would like to put a challenge to anybody out in Fleeperville that would like to say Bush supports the troops, because this is such a fallacious lie. Bush never supported the troops in ascertaining whether there were weapons of mass destruction. He never supported the troops whether ascertaining whether we should out an CIA agent for the little yellow cakes that may have been down in Nigeria. He has never supported the troops and documented substantial evidence for the Al-Qaeda connection with Saddam Hussein. That was before we got in there, and then we get in there, and then he has never supported the troops in providing body armor. He's never supported the troops providing any sort of, like, build-up Humvees so they go trolling a route, and so on and so forth. He has never supported the troops in providing poisoned water by his subcontract people that never were really given an open bid for that on the open market for Halliburton or whoever else. He has never supported the troops during any period of his time. And now we have Walter Reed, and they got rats over in Building 13, and he's not supporting the troops before he started, during the invasion, and when they get home, they still have to be supported by the American people that are good enough to support them, but not the President of the United States, George H. Bush. Never supported him.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, there's a lot of people that feel exactly the way he does. You know, they put those little ribbons on their car that said, we support the troops. So that's about the depth of the Bush's support is mouthing it. That's it. You know, you're so right, Eric. Look how long it took. You remember, I'm sure you remember when Rumsfeld went over there and was accosted by one of the soldiers at a big speech that Rumsfeld gave in Baghdad. And one of the soldiers started asking him, why do we have to go get spare parts out of the junkyard for our Humvees and all that? I mean, this has been from the very beginning. You're so absolutely right. The support was never there for our troops. Never.
But why is it that there are so many people that are so pro-Bush, pro-this administration, for this war, that really are so in denial that they will take labels out like liberal, peacemonger, whatever it is, whatever the label is, now rather than dealing with reality, dealing with pragmatic situations and sit there and say, you don't support the troops. You're not patriotic. Why is it that those people cannot connect the dots between one and two and say, you know, the guy you're supporting never supported the troops from go to end?
Well, you know, the answer you always get, well, you know, mistakes are made in war. War is hell. You know, what was it Rummy said? You go to war with the army. You don't go to war with the army that you wish you had. You go with what you have. I'd like to amend that to say you don't go to war with the president you wish you had. You go with the one you actually have. You know, you hear one excuse from after another from them, and they're either warmongers, these bully types, or these, you know, the exceptionalists that think we're something special in this country. We're better than everybody else. There's two types there.
Or we have the John McCains that kept his mouth silent for, let me see, in South Carolina in 2000 in the springtime until just within the last week. He is saying that Rumsfeld was a rotten son of a gun defense secretary of state, secretary of defense. I mean, where the heck was he from all this time and so on and so forth? So, I mean, it's actually more involved in that, right? I mean, all those people out in Creeperville understand that John McCain was this then, he was a maverick, and now he's this. And I mean, it's not just really honed in on what's going on in Walter Reed and the complete other unethical, immoral abandon that this president, this administration has given to our troops when they come home. It is also about the future political environment that is going to be established by the environment of the American people that are going to support that mentality, such as McCain.
Well, they're going to continue. You know, Eric, it's a game with a lot of people. It's about winning and losing and being on the right side. And you know, they were brought up in a Republican household. I was brought up in a Democratic household. It's got nothing to do with my political views today. You know, you establish your own brain, but a lot of people never did. And it's a sad testament to where this country is right now. I mean, all you have to do is take a look and see the Ann and Nicole with whatever her last name is, and the Brittany gal shaving her hair off being major news stories here as of late, and you can see where this country is right now. Our priorities are so screwed up, so messed up, so it's just a damn shame.
Well, I thank you very much for your responses, and I would like to say thank you very much for the esteemed Larry Johnson. Excellent guest on your show today. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for him, and it was a great interview, and I thank you.
Well, thank you. I think maybe is he going to be on Keith's show tonight? I'm not sure.
Olbermann, I don't get that stuff. I have cut down on my Patriot station of a lot of stuff.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for your call, Eric. Good to hear from you.
Keep up the good show.
Thank you. Let's go over to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Get this to tag on what you and Eric were talking about.
You haven't
about.
Been here for the whole show, have you, Phil?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
just checking on you.
Yeah. Oh, right, because I'm usually calling in quick.
I wondered if you heard the song.
I did. Thank
All right.
you so much. Oh, man. A great album.
I didn't want to put you on the spot. I hadn't heard that either.
Thank you. And thank you, Billy Shears.
All right. So before I so rudely interrupted you.
Yeah. I wanted to tag on to your conversation with Eric and... You and Sarge started it off. You know, these guys are the tough talkers. I find a lot of times, Guy, you know, support the troops, tough talkers. I confront them. I said, oh, so you're a vet yourself, eh? You know, and a lot of times they're not. And you got your own kids over there, huh? You're a military family too, huh? You know, and I confront them. I put them on the spot. A lot of these, what I've been finding, you know, because I'm out in the community and I'm doing the anti-war thing and taking it on as hard as I can. And you hit them between the eyes, you know, call them on their hypocrisy, call them on their bullshit. Oops, I mean, you know what I mean.
We're on the internet.
Oh, great. and I'm glad you had Larry Johnson on. He's been writing about the threat of us attacking Iran, too, in addition to his classmate, Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the outrage? How the heck do you reveal the cover of an undercover CIA agent? Isn't that kind of treason?
It absolutely is.
That's beyond. And people, what does Eric say? Sleeperville?
Freeperville.
Freeperville.
Yeah, that's the freerepublic.com website.
Oh, okay.
If you want to see the crazies, you head on over there.
Oh, okay.
We didn't warn you, though.
Well, I know you have other callers, and I just want to plug this film again. What we're trying to do is get out this film called Hijacking Catastrophe, and people can go to the website hijackingcatastrophe.org, and you can also watch it online. If you go to Google Video, type in the name of the film. What we're encouraging people to do is show it in their public libraries and advertise it in your local newspaper. What it is, it's all the Chicken Hawks and it's the PNAC guys, and it covers the blatant lie. You know, it brings a focus back on how they lied to start this war, flat out lied. It interviews Karen Kotowski, who was in the Office of Special Plans. It outs all the PNAC guys, you know, the guys you see on TV on the news tonight who are saying Iran is a grave threat. You know, it outs them. It describes their plan for attacking Afghanistan, then Iraq, and now Iran. It's all part of the PNAC plan. And I'm really hoping if we can just inform one more person or two more persons, you know, we can use our local media. We can use our local resources. I've been to a lot of these big marches in Washington and stuff. That ain't doing it. If we want to inform people and wake people up, we're going to be more successful doing that locally.
Well, I think it's going to take a combination, Phil, you know, the wheels have been put in motion, like you mentioned, the marches in Washington, it's a march toward awareness by all the people, and that's the thing. We've got to make people aware. That's part of what this program is all about. That's part of what you're all about, what you're doing now. Any way we can to bring an awareness to people who have been, sad to say, somewhat apathetic and lethargic about the entire situation, but they are waking up gradually.
Yes, and when we listen to your show or the other shows on Head On, then it's up to us to take it after we turn the button off and go outside, take it to somebody, share it with somebody, share the Head On Radio Network with somebody, you know. But we really have to do more than what we've been doing.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Guy. Great show.
Let's go over here to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi there, sir. That's great. Get right on here. That's appreciated. My name's Leonard. I'm from Unreported News. And, hey, I'm just calling in because I want to start listening in more here. I got back from Iraq last year here in 06 in February, and I want to tell you, it is despicable. I've seen it with my own eyes. Basically, you have a man who never served himself or did serve and went AWOL. I'm talking about King Bush. He sends my fellow soldiers over there. I personally had two friends who died. from platter charges because we weren't provided the right equipment within 10 days of each other on the same stretch of road within no quarter mile of each other. We begged not to go out the second time on that same stretch of road until we got the proper equipment, but we were sent out anyways. And it goes on from there, you know, on. We got stomach viruses at one camp because the water was contaminated, but we were told we weren't washing our hands. Just a lot of crap, you know. Contractors making, and I've got nothing against the little guys who want to come over there and make money. I understand. I was tempted, but I'm not going to do it now. But contractors were giving us orders, sitting inside the post, and I didn't like, you know, that was just a bunch of BS. So anyways, I wanted to just say I'm glad I just found out about your radio show and I saw it sponsored there on unreportednews.net. So I just appreciate your putting out the word to the people because we're losing our republic right now to these monarchists.
Yes, yes, indeed, we are. But we're not gonna let it happen.
No, we're not, sir. Thanks to all of us. I really believe we all work together. I can't let what my father and my ancestors fought for go down the drain while these monarchists, and I believe fascists, take this country over. They think they're just gonna walk all over us and everybody's brainwashed like a bunch of sheep, but not all of us.
Well, see, they did for a while. And the people of this country let them. But I think people are starting to get their back up now and taking a second look at the situation. And we will prevail in this. I know we will.
Well, also, and I will let you know, too, I'm the chairman of what is called the John McCain Recall Committee down here in Arizona. We've got an official file number, and we've got every political party. It's not a political party thing down here. Wanting to sign these petitions, we're going to be at the state capitol this Saturday from 9:30 to 11 in the morning. And we got people from every corner of the state of Arizona calling us desperate to get these petitions to send a statement that John McCain does not represent the views of the majority of Arizonans here. He supports a king, and we're going to show the world that that's not true. But the mainstream media is not putting that out. But thanks to people like Sarge and yourself, maybe a few more people know.
Hey, thanks for letting us know.
All right, sir. Thank you,
yeah.
And hopefully we'll be contributing more, and I look forward to a long road of success in getting our country back. And you have a good day there, sir.
Thanks for your call. I think just about everybody, maybe not everybody, but most families have had this war find its way into the family, maybe the extended family. I have a cousin, for example, that's done two tours over there, and his son as well have done tours in Vietnam. There I go again, and I don't do that on purpose. I swear to God I don't. I meant to say Iraq. But do the tours over there. Come home and tell of the situation there, what events are really like in Iraq, and what a different story it is from what you hear from this administration. What an amazingly different story it is when you start hearing about the construction that didn't happen and about the good food that they're getting from Halliburton, about all the good the laundry that's being done. And we hear all these stories from the administration of support for our troops, and I damn well mean what I said. This administration does support the mission. There isn't any question about it. And all those damn senators that voted against the resolution the other day that said, how can you vote for the mission, or how can you vote for the troops and not vote for the mission? Well, I think I want to turn it around. And these people definitely are for the mission. But they don't give a damn about the troops. These troops are cannon fodder. That is the way they're looked at. How could you look at 3,100 and what is it, 3,145 as of today, maybe 3,147, something like that? How could you look at that many dead Americans over there, slaughtered, and thousands more grievously wounded, and their lives will never be the same again? And I'm not one of these people that'll sit here and say, oh, there can never be a war, there should never be a war. I don't believe that. But if you're going to war, for God's sake, it damn well better be a war that is justified and for good reason to actually protect the nation. Protect the nation on this one, my behind. It's a joke. I know the military families hate to think of it that way. I know they hate to think of the fact that they're really not protecting the country from being, by being over there, but they're not. They've been sold a bill of goods, and a lot of them know it, believe me. I've heard from a lot of them that know it full well. Don't get me started. I don't want to come on this show every day and talk about this damn war. I don't want to. I'm tired of it. But we have no choice. We must talk about it every day. We have to. We're compelled to. It's our obligation to talk about it every day with passion, with our real feelings. Because we cannot let this go on. The entire world understands what this war is about. This war is about the ego of one little George W. Bush. And it is about corporate America. That is what this war is about. Had nothing to do with protecting us. Had nothing to do with fighting terrorism. Does anybody know? You know, the thing was, we're going to fight Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Does anybody know how many Al-Qaeda members there are in Iraq? Even our military personnel, the ones that won't admit anything else, will admit that there's only about 5%. 5% of those fighting against our U.S. troops? 5%? Come on. And we're going to keep how many thousand out in Anbar province to fight Al-Qaeda? My God. You know, we've mentioned it over and over again. I don't but think a lot of people understand that Al-Qaeda is not this damn big army someplace that has affiliations all over the world, has branches all over. That's just not how it is. You don't raise your hand on the Quran and swear an oath to Al-Qaeda, then all of a sudden you're all members like you are the U.S. Army or something. That's not how it is. For the most part, Al-Qaeda is an idea, a cause, a wrong cause, a terrible cause. But if anybody thinks they were going to stop it by using the means that we've tried to use in Afghanistan and in Iraq, they're sadly mistaken, and my God, I would think that would have been proven to everybody by now. I would think everybody by now would know that this has been an unmitigated disaster. It's just so damn sad. It really is. Hey, I think we better pause for a break right now. See, I catch my producer, me, off guard. I even fool myself. let's do go for a break right now. We'll be back in just a moment or two.
Well, when I walk, on my horse upon the hill.
Yeah,
when I walk. Down, will my love me still? A dog is here. My dog, he got three legs, but he can run. But mine got one.
Dog is here. Dog is here. Dog is there. Dog is there. My dog, he got 3 legs, but he can't run.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so rouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them? Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring 'Em On. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your own. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. We got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die with. In some land that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
And we're back. Welcome back, everyone. Hey, I want to say a special hello to all of our friends over at the iTunes now. Glad to have you along with us. I've noticed we've got a tremendous number of new listeners over at the iTunes. And I want you to join in on the program. Ah, yes. Join in with us on the program. That's the idea. This is a talk show, you see. And I don't want to do all the talking. I know I do quite a bit of it. But it would be good for you to join in on the program, too. And you may do that by giving us a call toll-free, 866-546-5254. Once again, that's 866-546-5254. We invite you to head on over and see our new website. We've done some cosmetic, well, we've done a wholesale change, I should say. And I want to thank Faye-Lynn so much for doing the new website. She put a lot of time and effort on it. We're going to be having links up to our music that we play each day. We will be having new commentary on the show once or twice a week, and links to our favorite website. And hopefully soon we're going to work out a way to put in a good chat venue of some kind. We're working on that, so that's news to Faye-Lynn. But I want to do that soon. I don't know how we'll monitor it and all that. A lot of people don't understand what a big deal it is to have a good chat room on a program. On a website. Takes a lot of monitoring and so forth. Or we get guys like that moron, or Rick, that sent us that email a little earlier, going in and upsetting the apple cart and all, if you know what I mean. So, good to have you with us. Don't forget, those of you joining us for the first time today, and there are quite a few of you, the Head On Radio Network has other great shows as well. Jeff Allen Wolf, in the morning and early afternoon, John Fox, we got Dr. Bill, Joe DeVecchio, and Mark Levine, and the master himself, Bob Kincaid. So check out the website, headonradionetwork.com. You'll find out all about the shows on there. We try and get up every day what everybody has going to have on their program, guests and so forth. And we're doing our best to provide you with an alternative. Many of you live in an area where there's nothing but right-wing radio 24/7, just as like where I live. That's it. That's all. No, nothing from the left whatsoever. And I know many of you are in the same boat. So that's what the Head On Radio Network is here, what we're here for. We're to promote liberal progressive ideas. That's what we do. We do it with truth. We do it with passion. And that's what you'll get from us each and every day, truth and passion for the truth. We work hard at it. You won't get any spin here. Don't believe in it. So although there are other people that say a no-spin zone, we actually mean it here. We actually do it. So tell everybody you know. Do visit the new website for my show, www.theguyjamesshow.com. Don't forget the on there, theguyjamesshow.com, and you'll find hopefully some useful information on there. Don't forget that new piece I got posted on the front page there. If you get a chance, give that a listen. Did that for somebody that won something special for a big event, and I think you'll enjoy it. Anyway, it's for Democrats. Oh, where are we at here? About 15 minutes, almost 14 minutes before the hour. You can give us a call, 866-546-5254. You know, I just played a piece that I did with a cut from Pills Limbaugh on there. The most unreliable, untruthful man on radio today. I don't know if he's the biggest liar. He's right up there. Amazing the things the man has gotten away with and lied himself out of and lied himself into. But Kate O'Byrne, you all know who she is. She's the Washington editor for the National Review, and you see her on the Talking Head shows all the time, almost every evening. She's on one of them someplace. She's on Meet the Press a lot of times, Face the Nation. She's on all these shows. And she objected to people talking about her good friend, Rush Limbaugh. And I found this quote by her that I found just astounding, that anybody could write this. Supposedly somebody with who's highly intelligent, the editor for the National Review, lives in Washington, makes a living doing that. She's a smart lady. But you got to wonder what the hell happens to their brains, how they get scrambled, and why somebody of her stead would write something like this. And let me quote her. Russia's angry, frustrated critics discount how hard it is to make an outrageous charge against him stick. But we listeners have spent years with him. We know him and trust him. Rush is one of those rare acquaintances who can be defended against an assault challenging his character without ever knowing the facts. That's an amazing statement right there. Rush is one of those rare acquaintances who can be defended against an assault challenging his character without ever knowing the fact. That's beautiful. She goes on to say, we trust his good judgment, his unerring decency, for God's sake, and his fierce loyalty to the country he loves and to the courageous young Americans who defend her. For millions of us, David Brock is firing blanks against a bulletproof target. She's talking about MediaMatters.com. We trust his good judgment, his unerring decency. You know, when somebody talk about Rush Limbaugh's good judgment and his unerring decency, I don't know, visions of Denny's parking lots come up in my head when they mention that. And I see this whole sordid, dirty, dirty little story. And I hear someone talking about his good judgment and his unerring decency. My, 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 Katie gal. My, my, my. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. This is Terry up here in Fort Myers. How you doing?
Hi, Terry.
It's been about 3 or 4 months since I've been able to be on here because I've been going through some changes in my life, you know, as far as where we are and everything like that. But I'm still in Fort Myers. But I happened to turn it on today because I was looking through there and I thought, you know, I got to check this out. And I will tell you this, that with everything that's been going on in my life and the people I got to deal with, it's really a breath of fresh air to listen to you again.
Well, thank you.
I like somebody that's got passion but who sticks to the facts. And I'm not even going to talk about Rush Limbaugh. I refuse to dignify that name with a comment.
Well, and I just did enough for both of us, so we can leave that there.
But I don't want to take up much time. I just want to call and say that I will now be listening every day, and I just want to say thanks for being there and for your dedication, because there's not very many people that are factual and who have passion for the truth, regardless of what the truth is. They just want it. And you're one of those people, and that's why I respect you very much.
Well, thanks, Terry. It's good to know you're listening. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. We pride ourselves on the truth on this program. And swear to God, haven't been into any Denny's parking lots lately. But haven't sent my maid over there to buy me any drugs or anything. I swear, I never have. Don't have a maid. I think all the Denny's are all gone around here, so we'd have to send them to... wait a minute, is there a Denny's around here? Yeah, there's one over there by the beach. That's the only one I can think of anymore. They're pretty rare anymore. Do you have Denny's where you live, no matter where you live? Remember the Denny's back when you were young? 3-4 o'clock in the morning, after everything closed up, everybody end up at Denny's and get the, what'd they call their famous breakfast? I can't think of it. Ah. But you could get a big breakfast at Denny's for, you know, a couple of bucks, and now I can't even remember what the name of it. Good old Denny's. Good Lord. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. But Rush still knows all about him, and I don't want to be picking on Rush Limbaugh, but his drug-addled brain does cause him to make a mistake now and then, and when he does, it's usually been a big whopper. Remember that trip to the Dominican Republic? Wow, that was quite an event as well. Had to end up having a prescription on him that didn't belong to him, belonged to somebody he got out of that deal as well. If you got enough money, hey, and I hear through the grapevine that Ann the Man Coulter is selling her place over in the Miami area. I forget where it is, Fort Lauderdale maybe. I'm not Palm Beach. I'm not sure. Limbaugh lives at Palm Beach. Maybe she does too, but she's got her home for sale over there for... what it is, someone told me, and I don't quote me on this because I'm not sure, but somebody told me it was like $11 million, so it must be one of the dumps if it's along Palm Beach and it's only $11 million. I'd like to live next door to Limbaugh, though. I'd get me a big old coon dog that would howl all night and just do my best to disrupt his life. I'm that kind of a guy. I really am. Oh, man. I don't know what got me to started talking about Rush Limbaugh. Tomorrow, we're going to have Raed Girar on, and he's going to talk about this wonderful agreement, this oil law that Condi Rice was over talking to the Parliament of Iraq recently, trying to get that passed, because God knows Exxon and all the oil companies are just drooling over that one. Going to have, what is it, around 75% of the oil revenues coming out of all the oil coming out of Iraq for like 30 or 35 years. Not bad, huh? Not bad. And here the Secretary of State of the United States is over there pretty much, you might as well say, on the behalf of these companies to try and get the Parliament to go through with this. Massive oil reserves, third largest in the world. And it's going to be exploited by the Western oil companies. Who was it that said a while back? Cheney. I had this in my notes here. Dick Cheney. Back in 1999, while he was still chief executive of the oil services company Halliburton, said that the world would need an additional 50 million barrels of oil a day by 2010. So where is this oil going to come from? The Middle East, he said, with two-thirds of the world's oil and the lowest cost, is still where the prize ultimately lies. Gee, Dick, don't you just hate it that people are able to quote things now that something you said 8 years ago? That's where the prize ultimately lies. This is coming from Dick Darth Cheney 8 years ago when he was the head of Halliburton. Wasn't that a marriage just made in heaven? Dick Cheney and Halliburton, one of the worst bastards that ever lived on the face of the planet and one of the worst, most vile companies, happened to team up together. Was that not just the perfect match, Dick Cheney and Halliburton? Oh, yeah. this new law is going to permit Western companies to pocket up to 3/4 of the profit in the early years. They say, well, it's the only way to get Iraq's oil industry back on its feet after years of sanction, war, and loss of expertise. So they're saying there's nobody in Iraq that can pump the oil out of the ground. Is that it? But it's going to operate through what they call these production sharing agreements, or PSAs, which, as we've discussed on this program before, are extremely rare in the Middle East. You know, Saudi Arabia and Iran has state-controlled oil. Most of the oil in the world, most of it is state-controlled. But opponents of it say oil accounts for 95% of the economy, and the Iraqis are being forced to surrender an unacceptable degree of sovereignty by pretty much just giving away their oil. And there's an article in The Independent from London just 2 days ago. It says, proposing the parliamentary motion for war in 2003, Tony Blair denied the, quote, false claim that we want to seize Iraq's oil revenues. He said the money should be put into a trust fund run by the UN for the Iraqis. But the idea came to nothing. The same year, Colin Powell, then Secretary of State, said it cost a great deal of money to prosecute this war, but the oil of the Iraqi people belongs to the Iraqi people. It is their wealth. It will be used for their benefit, so we did not do it for the oil. Well, Colin, baby, it didn't quite turn out that way, now did it? It turns out that the oil companies from Great Britain and the good old USA are going to take three-quarters of that oil that you said belonged to the Iraqi people. Three-quarters of it. Three-quarters. Oh, man. It's fascinating. But, you know, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. The graft and corruption and thuggery that goes on in this is that a word? That goes on in this administration. They don't even try and hide it. They're blatant with it nowadays. Just in your face. Yeah, hell yes, we're going to take their oil. What did you think? Did you doubt we were going to take their oil? That's the way they act now. They really do. Cheney, all the time, is in your face with any statement he's got to make. Well, you know, regarding this surge. And I'm paraphrasing, but before the election, he's, you know, it doesn't matter how the election turns out. We're going to do what we're going to do. Don't give a damn what the American public says. Don't give a damn what the world community says. We, in other words, I, Dick Cheney, am going to call the shots. I've always called the shots for the last 6 years, and I'm going to continue calling the shots. I got to hand it to them. They're bold enough. There's no question about that. I do want to thank you so much for being with us on the program today. As I mentioned, our new little network here is growing by leaps and bounds, the Head On Radio Network. I want to thank Bob Kincaid and Agnes and everybody affiliated with it. Peter Godbolt, everybody that gives help in any way. John Fox, Dr. Bill, Jeff Allen Wolf, Joe Vecchio, Mark Levine, and Bob Kincaid, of course. We hope to be around a long time for you, and we want to be your network. We want to be your alternative. We want to be a place that you can come for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every day, and have you participate in the program. We're interested in your contribution to the program. We're interested always in hearing what you have to say as well. That's how we find out what the real pulse of America is, listening to you. So thanks for all your correspondence, your emails, your phone calls, all of that. We're very, very thankful for all of that. And I do want to remind you, as always, you're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station, here on the Head On Radio Network. And never forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang. We'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?